BlueJaysNation.com. Andrew Stoughton. Andrew, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, Andrew, I guess let's start, first of all, with the rotation. The starting five now, do you like it? Is it the right starting five? And are they good enough to get the Jays back to the postseason?
Yeah, I think they're good enough to get the Jays back to the postseason just because the offense is so good that the rotation doesn't have to be great. I think there's some upside with these guys. You know, I think people still wonder whether Marco Ristrada can repeat what he did. I think people forget that Ari Dickey was terrific in the second half, you know, because everybody's always so disappointed with what Ari Dickey sort of become. Aaron Sanchez, I'd like to see him face a left-handed batter who isn't kind of terrible. You know, they really killed him all of last season and all spring. He's obviously been a revelation. He's been great. But he really hasn't faced any like left-handers of consequence, I don't think. So that's going to be something, I think, to watch in the early starts of the season. But yeah, I think he could be really great for them in the rotation. I think they're making the right move in not sending him back to the bullpen, which probably would have made him a reliever for basically the rest of his career. It's so hard to stretch him out again, to think about having to do this again next year. I think that's the right move for him. And I worry about, you know, the secondary stuff, but he's got such a great, like, sinking bowling ball fastball that I think he can get by with it, maybe just as almost a one-pitch guy in the rotation as he feels out the other stuff. So I think there's a lot to really like there, actually.
I love the fact that the Jays, they're starting against the Rays, a team right in the division. That's who they're going to battle. They go Sunday at 2:05 Edmonton time, Stroman on the mound against Archer. And Stroman, of course, you know, we saw him last season. He came back off the injury. People didn't think he'd come back that fast, and he looked great in the postseason. But it's different now when you enter the season as the clear ace. Do you think he can hold up to the stature of being looked upon as the ace?
I think that if anybody can do it, it's going to be him. I mean, in his big league career, he hasn't been tested too much, but I say that, and then I think, you know, he came up as a reliever and he struggled and he came back and was terrific as a starter. And, you know, he had the knee injury and went through the rehab that came back as, you know, way faster than anybody thought was possible and was basically their ace in the playoffs, even though Estrada was great as well. Well, David Price was, you know, not maybe what we were hoping for in the playoffs, but, you know, that's some circumstance too. But yeah, I mean, I think you wonder maybe how much of the hubris of the bravado is real, but I think from everything that everybody says about the guy, about the kid, that he's really the real deal when it comes to, you know, pitching with a chip on his shoulder and just really being competitive and wanting to be out there and wanting to have the ball. And, you know, anybody who's been around the game, they talk about it, about those sorts of things like that. They matter a lot. And we saw that, you know, that's a guy like David Price. You look at David Price's stuff, he's fantastic, but if you just look at the stuff, maybe he's not blowing everybody away all the time. And there's something more intangible about what makes a guy an ace. And a lot of people seem to think that Stroman might have that. And I think it's a good bet for the Jays. And I think with the offense that they have, like I say, he's in a good position to see how this goes anyway. And I think, you know, anything good that they can get out of him in any of these pitchers is going to mean they're going to win a lot of games because they're just going to score so many runs on the opposition.
Andrew Stoughton from BlueJaysNation.com joins us. So let's look at the starting lineup. We know kind of where the rotation's going to be. Who do you think who's going to be the best leadoff hitter for this team?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and it's something we've debated sort of all year. It looks like Kevin Pillar is definitely going to start the year as the leadoff hitter. He probably wouldn't be my choice just because I really think that a guy with, you know, better on-base skills should be at the top of the lineup just because they have such great power hitters behind him. You know, you're going to be getting home runs and doubles behind the leadoff guy, and so you want someone who's going to be on base a lot. And Pillar just really hasn't been that guy in his whole career. You know, he can really hit the ball well. He barrels balls up, but kind of relies on batting average on balls in play. One guy's going to take a lot of walks. So I don't know. There's not really an ideal candidate for me. I was sort of thinking maybe someone like Russell Martin would be an interesting choice, even though he doesn't have the speed element at this point in his career. He's a guy who can get on base at a pretty good clip and didn't as much last year as he did the year previous in Pittsburgh, but, you know, there were some mitigating circumstances. He was beat up and he was catching Ari Dickey all the time, and that seemed to have an adverse effect on his numbers. So he's a guy for me that I would look to in that situation. I think everybody sort of looked at what Devin Travis did when he was healthy last year and think that that's a guy who can definitely do that job. once he comes back, assuming that he comes back as the same guy that he was when he was here and when he was at his best, and everybody's sort of hopeful about that. And beyond that, it's not easy. I don't think it's a great spot for a home run hitter. You know, I think a lot of people will say, oh, just move everybody up, have Donaldson lead off. I think it's like something like the leadoff hitter comes to the plate with a runner on 36% of the times less than any other spot in the order. So for a guy who has home run power, you probably don't want to have him there, because that just means you're turning a lot of potential, two-run homers, three-run homers into solo shots. So, you know, the thing is, they have just such a great offense that it probably isn't going to matter that much. And I'm okay. I'm resigned to the fact that Pillar is going to do it, and I think it's not going to really become a problem unless he has one of those, you know, Kevin Pillar kind of 0 for May months where, you know, he just, you know, you see it when he struggles. You see him swinging at breaking stuff, you know, low and away. And if they keep running him out there when he's, you know, in one of those kind of funks, that's a problem. But until that happens, I think they'll be fine with him at the top.
Who do you like better long term at second base, Travis or Goins?
Goins really showed a lot in the second half last year. They talked about him changing the position of his hands and sort of being able to see the ball come in a little bit more, which allowed him just a little bit of a better read on balls. But, you saw reflected in the fact that he walked a bit more. I still think that bat is just really, really light. I mean, I know his glove is fantastic and amazing. And he's a guy I think he'll have a job for years in the big leagues. He'll always have a roster that he can be on because, you know, he's got that defense and anything he can get out of the bat is good, but I think he loses a lot of the value that his defense provides because the bat hasn't been so good. And Devin Travis, while he's not Ryan Goins with the gloves, he's competent and then some. I think we really liked what we saw last year. And he keeps hitting. He's hit everywhere he's gone, and last year was no exception. Some of that I think is a bit of a mirage. It's a pretty small sample, but to me it would be Devin Travis for sure.
Quickly. Looking to Bautista and Encarnacion, of course, the contracts or lack thereof have been a big story for them. Do you see the Jays leaning towards one or the other? And, you know, because the big battle for them, and I understand where they are at management, it's do you want to pay the guys for what they've done? Sure. But at the same time, you have to pay them for what they're going to do. And you just wonder, like, how many years can Bautista and Encarnacion put up those same type numbers? How many years do you think they have left at elite level hitters?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a question that I think they're going to be asking all year. Because, yeah, the reports have been that they're maybe more willing to be flexible in terms of years of money on Bautista, which I think is because even though he's a little bit older, he's a guy who just he's had injuries himself, but he hasn't battled through injuries the way that Edwin did. You know, Edwin had the finger issue that he played through at the end of last year. He had an oblique issue at the start of camp. He went for sports hernia surgery as soon as the season ended last year. And he was fantastic all the way through that. You know, he's a warrior and has been, you know, an incredible, incredible hitter and one of the best hitters in baseball. But, you know, those sorts of things, they can tend to add up and they can, you know, weigh down your performance. And you worry about a guy like that. But I think you're absolutely right, too. You don't want to pay them for past performance. And if you look at, you know, there's not a lot of comparable guys to these guys just because they broke out so late, just because they're so good. One guy that I've talked about, I just wrote something about, actually, is Gary Sheffield, who's a guy that compares to Bautista a little bit, right fielders. Really great production. Sheffield was a free agent a year earlier. He was a free agent, I think, 2004. He was 35. And had two really great years at the start of that contract and then kind of really precipitously fell off a cliff a bit, even though everything leading up to that point said, this is a guy who's been healthy, this guy who's been productive. It just aged problems for everyone eventually, and it's a tough bet to make when you're looking at a guy who's going to be 36 at the start of his next contract. It's tough to say, sure, we'll pay him for 6 years. What you're really saying is, you know, we'll pay him for 2 years and we'll deal with the consequences afterwards, but we might turn into the Phillies. And I don't know if that's really the way that you want to do it.
No, definitely not. Quickly, one last one for you. What's your prediction, Andrew? Where the Jays finish in the AL East?
I think you got to say that they're going to win the AL East. I mean, I think there's a lot of great competition there. I think Boston has a great roster that could be really volatile. I think New York has a great bullpen and some question marks maybe in the lineup, and the other teams are just a little bit behind that, but are also still really, really good. But yeah, I think just with the offense that they have, last year, if you look at the Pythagorean record, which is sort of a mildly advanced stat, they really didn't even perform to as well as they should have, even though they went and won 93 games and won the division. I think with the offense they have, they're going to be really fantastic.
Andrew, great stuff, man. I really look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
Me too, man. Thanks very much for having me.